Are you ready for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast? Well,
it
ready.
It doesn't matter if I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready or not, Darren and I, we're a couple of friends that were born ready, friend. You better believe that. Here we go. It's another Top 5 Things. Here's a look at some of what we covered on our morning show, which is heard on old-timey radio. What a world. What a world. Planet 93.9. Can I just do a quick plug for the app?
Yeah.
Because the radio station is now available on the Android phone and your iPhone. Go to the either Google Play Store or App Store if you got the Apple iPhone and download the app. Check out the station and enjoy. Now, the podcast you're about to listen to is made possible thanks to
Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan. They also have a location in Galesburg on West Main Street. Milan is open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Recreational waiting list. Those are available. Reserve your time at the website. That is ntillinois.com.
Where should we get started, Petra?
How about number one?
Number one.
Number one.
Australia, another shark attack story, although this one's got a twist.
Not the summer of the shark.
Are you not declaring it then?
No, it didn't happen. I didn't feel good about it.
Do you think the sharks don't want to bite us because they're afraid of getting the coronavirus? Have they been told, like, this isn't the year to eat people?
I understand. You guys don't taste right.
Something's off this year.
I can't taste you.
This happened in far north Queensland down in Australia. 29-year-old woman was swimming about 300 feet offshore. This happened earlier today. Because of the way the globe works.
Yep.
This happened.
Breaking news.
Yes. She was attacked by a shark. And what you don't see coming here is, on the news down there in Australia, they are wheeling this woman who has been attacked brutally by a shark.
Live?
Yeah, they are wheeling her to the rescue.
Yes.
Helicopter.
Does she have something to say?
They've got her on the gurney.
Live.
And there's, yes.
Live action.
And there's all these cameras as this woman, who again, earlier today, a shark tried to eat her.
Minutes before.
She's on the gurney being wheeled to the rescue chopper. And she has a statement that she wants to make.
Uh-huh.
And the statement she yells to the press is this, quote, "I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful."
Mm.
Not mad at the shark.
No.
That shark's just doing what sharks do.
I was in the shark's home.
Yeah, I guess.
Wasn't the other way around.
I guess. Taken to shore and treated by doctors on the island, paramedics arrived by helicopter, applied first aid. She was transported to a hospital in stable condition.
I thought her message might be, "Don't forget to play Angry Birds."
They did not identify the breed of shark. But, yeah. She wanted people to know as she was getting wheeled in.
Now they had,
don't be mad at the shark. I love sharks. They're great.
They had stopped the bleeding, right? So it wasn't like Monty Python where they're wheeling her into the helicopter and there's just blood still spurting straight up.
No. No.
With a thumbs up?
There have been a group of fatal shark attacks along the east coast of Australia in recent months. Over the weekend, a 15-year-old was killed while surfing. And last week, a father of two was killed by a shark. So there have been... it is the summer of the shark in Australia. In fact, they're at a... shark attacks and resulting in fatalities are at a 10-year high. And that was before even, you know, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But even with sharks at a 10-year high for killing people... This woman, who was earlier today attacked by a shark, her statement to the press as before they put her on the helicopter was, "I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful."
I was in his neighborhood.
I would just like to say I applaud this woman because I hold a grudge, and this woman is going to live a long life. I hold on to that stuff.
You would hold a grudge if you got bit by a shark?
You're damn right I would.
Huh.
I'd be mad at every fish in the sea if I got attacked by a shark.
Okay, Charlie.
I'd be furious at all of them.
I don't know that you would be.
To have.
I don't know that you would be. If you had a, if there was a shark attack and you survived it, I don't know that you would be holding a grudge.
I've given this some thought. If I had a shark attack and it was like, it took a bite out of me and it left a really cool scar,
yeah,
that'd be kind of boss. But I could still use my legs?
Yes, you get to still use your legs.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty sweet, actually.
I don't think...
That'd be pretty sweet. I would wear shorts in January if I had like a big shark bite. Oh, you're looking at my leg? Shark. Shark took it. We were taking a bomb. USS Indianapolis. Now, if it takes like both my knees and eats them, and now I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life, I wouldn't be able to say I love sharks.
Left the rest of your legs, but just ate the knees?
That's wasteful. First of all, that's wasteful.
All I can do is walk like this. I can't. They put me back together. They put me back.
Look at me. I'm Mr. Bojangles.
They put me back together, but yeah, he ate the knees.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I believe, the most delicious part of my leg.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think that, but for her to be graceful enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what other word to use to describe this woman. To say, listen, I love sharks. Sharks are beautiful. After this thing took a bite out of you to the point where they're wheeling you into a helicopter.
Clearly didn't blame the shark.
Right. She was swimming 300 feet offshore from Fitzroy Island.
That's quite a ways out.
There is that.
A football field out? Would you? Oh, I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't. Kidding me?
Well,
I wouldn't do that in an Olympic-sized pool.
You could swim a lot closer to shore, I think.
I don't know that you're...
I think I would recommend, you know...
A football field out from any coastline?
Well, that's the thing, though. Once you start swimming, you just kind of keep going.
Why do you need to be out that far?
I don't know.
What's the water like?
Well, it's...
You can't touch the bottom.
You don't go out very far when you go out? Like,
I don't go...
Once you're out past where you can't, as soon as you get into the ocean and you're out past where you can feel your feet on the ground.
Well, but that could be just a few feet out.
That's as far as you need to go.
100 yards?
It says 100 meters. So that's 300. I'm saying 300 feet just because I don't do the metric system there.
Football field.
And I will never do it. How dare you, French?
A football field.
Yeah.
No way.
It does seem a lot like it's really far out.
It does.
But in her defense, like, she's kind of saying, I had it coming. She's kind of saying,
well, that's all
the shark was just doing shark stuff.
That's all I would be thinking about if I was that far out and swimming out there.
That a shark's going to try and eat you?
When's the shark attack take place?
Yeah.
When's it going to happen?
Yeah.
I better start going in now because it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, you went into a shark's kitchen and started acting like food.
And started playing with its knives.
She loves sharks. Sharks are beautiful. She doesn't want anyone going out trying to kill sharks because of what happened to her. Quite the contrary. She's waving to the cameras, saying, this is...
gonna be okay.
Yeah. Good for her. I wish I had this woman's attitude. Because when I'm wronged, I tend to immediately go into attack mode. This woman has got the... like a Zen quality that I envy.
Oh, so you think you would attack the shark?
I would want every shark in the ocean dead if it bit me. Yes. I would hold on to anger and animosity and things that are not healthy for me. This woman has the absolute right attitude. I don't think I'm capable of what this woman is displaying today in Australia.
I would think that if you think... that what I need to do now is kill every shark in the ocean.
All of them. That's right. Look, it goes back to, and here it is shocking, we're talking about Jaws again. Why do you think Quint took such joy killing sharks?
Well, he got paid.
It has nothing to do with the money. It has everything to do with his experience on the USS Indianapolis.
I think he requested money.
Well, yeah, of course he wanted a couple of bucks.
Why didn't he take that little buddy of his with him on the boat?
Yeah.
Why does his assistant not go on the boat?
Well, the assistant probably wanted to get paid money. And he's like, no, I'll just have Hooper and Chief work for free.
I'm surprised.
I could save a little money on this project.
Now, in the book, I think the assistant was on the boat, and he was sacrificed.
They used him as chum?
Well, not as chum, uh-huh. but get on this hook.
You know, you want to know why I always call you old chum? You're about to find out. Get on this comically oversized hook.
Well, that's probably what he did, is he would dress him up as a worm. He would put him in some sort of...
Sharks don't eat worms.
Put him in some sort of wormitard. Now, here comes the assistant. Here comes the assistant dressed up as a worm. Now get on this big, ridiculous size hook. And, you know, this is what we do. This is how we fish for the sharks.
Why do I got to put on the Nightcrawler
outfit?
Oh,
no, he doesn't backtalk. He doesn't backtalk.
He's happy to do it.
He knows this is
the gig. I'm so lucky to be working with Quint. This is a real opportunity for me.
No, he doesn't talk much. He doesn't say much. He just knows. I mean, he didn't say a word in that whole scene, did he?
No.
You remember him talking?
No, I
Nothing.
Don't.
No.
I don't. I'm struggling.
He knows what he does.
Right.
He's got his equipment, and inside, like, his tackle box or whatever it is.
Right.
He's got, like, a little backpack. He knows to put on the worm outfit.
My job is to assist Captain Quint, and sometimes that means
I'm bait. I'm the bait.
So if that's what the captain wants,
that's what it is.
I hear and obey. Need. Right.
And then in Jaws, that was the last time that he ever did that, because it was a different kind of fish.
You could not remake Jaws today, because it wouldn't be, if you were to take the book and try and remake it, because the book, there's a lot of things that are different. We've talked about that a bunch of times on the show and on the podcast. If they were to try and do a reboot of Jaws, they would make it a CGI thing where you would see so much more of the shark,
yeah,
and it would take you out of it. The whole reason Jaws works is you never see that shark.
For the most part, you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just a tail and that music.
Yeah.
If you were to try and redo it now, they would do it where it would be a CGI shark,
sure.
And it wouldn't be scary at all. Because you would know that's a computer shark, even though the shark could look. I mean, the sharks in Sharknado look really good, as dumb as those movies are. But you're taking it out of it because you know, in large part because the sharks are flying, that those aren't real sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the whole thing, it's not scary. When it's just your legs are dangling out in the open ocean
and
you
go.
Can't see the bottom of the floor and you're just kind of floating around. And then you get that thought in your head, like, I wonder if there's sharks here. That's the terror that grips you. If you see a CGI shark coming at you, who's afraid of that?
That's true.
Nobody. Not even the little buddy. Do we have an assistant? What was his name? Quint's assistant.
Chum. Chumley.
Not Chumley. That's...
His last name was Lee, first name Chum. Chumley.
Quint's assistant is he just called? I'm looking at the
credits.
He's just called Quint's assistant.
Sure.
They didn't even give this guy a name?
Nope. Didn't give him a name, didn't give him any lines. In the reboot, he gets on the boat with them.
Yeah, but not... Well, if they do a reboot. But I don't think you can do a reboot. It'd make more sense to do Jaws 4 than to do reboot of Jaws.
Jaws 4? So Jaws is going up against the Russians?
Well, no, it was just... That would be...
I will break you, Jaws.
Two.
We were just talking about an IBM... ad where they're looking for somebody that has 12 years experience with a program that's only been around for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was another job that wanted someone that had 4.5 years of experience with the program, and the guy who invented it said he didn't have that much experience and he had only invented the program a year and a half prior to that. There's a Reddit feed here where employers were asked, what's the weirdest or stupidest answer you've ever seen on a job application? Because I'm wondering if IBM is putting things on their
as a trap.
Ads.
It's a trap.
Right. Is it a trap to make sure that they weed out people that automatically are disqualified. If you're willing to say that you have experience in something that you couldn't possibly have that kind of experience.
Then let's just save my time.
Right. Now, I'm probably giving IBM more credit than they deserve. I think it's a trap.
It's a trap!
I think everything's a trap, though. That's my secret. So here are some of the responses to the weirdest things that employers have seen on a job application, all right? In the criminal history section, they checked yes and simply wrote, wrong place, wrong time. Also, they spelt wrong, R-O-N-G. Wrong place, wrong time.
Enough said.
Here's one. Had a chef once apply with, quote, good at helping my coworkers thieve while the restaurant is at its busiest. I'm guessing they meant to write thrive.
Yes.
This is one. I received a resume that was just his high school football accomplishments. No other experience written down.
Bagels, Jack.
There was even a link to his highlight video. He also included a headshot of him in his football pads. He was 24 years old.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad. In the cover letter, it said, this is a different resume now, different application. In the cover letter, it said, I have a 2011 Toyota Corolla, and I keep things organized with stickers. Capitalized stickers with a bunch of exclamation points. I had someone bring in a resume that was scrawled out on notebook paper ripped from a spiral-bound notebook. I had people email me for job applications, email me from addresses like baddestbitch420 and sexymama69. Mm-hmm. Applicant had been convicted for theft under $1,000. One special skill they wrote down on their application? Money handling. For computer skills, they simply wrote down copy and paste.
It's helpful.
I'm really good at copy and paste. He wrote on his application, another application here, he wrote that he'd served 6 years in prison for the murder of his wife's lover. He finished by saying that he and his wife were back together. Here's one. They had a reference from someone simply known as Cheese. I would totally hire somebody.
You know, if Cheese?
If they had a recommendation for somebody
Cheese?
Who simply went and wrote as Cheese. That's an insta hire for
now,
me.
Now, this wasn't an application or interview or anything, but do you remember the sales meeting that back in the old place they were holding and they were looking for success stories for, I guess, the previous day or the past week?
So let me tell you, just as somebody that during our radio exodus, I tried to do sales and they're big on what was your success story.
Yeah.
At the end of every week, you have to tell them what your biggest success was.
If you had one. And one of the success stories, I think we had two young guys at the time working at the radio station.
Yeah.
Two young guys. And
sales guys, yeah.
Sales guys. And then the one guy's success story was, I'm busting out of this shirt. I can't get into the shirt. I need to, look, I'm huge.
Been working out.
I've been working.
Yeah.
I've been working out. I need to get a different size shirt. That's my success story.
So they're going around the table and one salesperson would say, well, I've got a local business that is going to, you know, invest $5,000 on a campaign over a couple of months. Great job. How about you? Well, this client that hasn't been on the radio in a number of years has agreed to come back and give us a chance. And I was able to put together a campaign that they're really going to like. And okay, great success story. And then you, big guy.
I'm huge. I'm busting out of this shirt.
I'm not able to fit into my shirts anymore because I've been working out at such a clip.
Okay.
That I'm huge.
I got you. And then how about you, the next new guy? I got bagels. Bagels. Meaning I got two big fat zeros.
In my head, that's the same guy.
No, I think it was two different
guys. It was two different meetings, and it was the same guy.
I thought we had hired two young guys about the same age.
Right.
Early 20s.
Right.
And one guy was busting out of this shirt, and the other one's like, I got bagels.
I could write a book about all the sales idiots in that building. My favorite was, it's hard to pick a favorite, but just off the top of my head, one of my favorites was the sales guy when we were on Brady Street, who would go to the truck stops and find prostitutes. Then he would bring them back to the conference room and have sex with them, and then he would pay them in Wendy's gift certificates that we were supposed to give away as prizes. Mm. Where are those Wendy's gift certificates that we told Wendy's we were going to give away? Oh, yeah, we got a sales guy who's paying local truck stop prostitutes, bringing them back to the radio station to have sex with them there in the conference room.
I'll show you where the beef is. Hot and you know the rest.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
That's the same guy who got busted for a DUI and then called a client to say, hey, I need you to come bail me out of jail. And it wasn't his client. He's like, it's 3:00 in the morning. Why are you calling me? Well, I know that who your sales rep is in the building, and he says you got a lot of money. So I need you to come bail me out of jail. And the guy's like, I don't know who you are. Why would I come bail you out of jail? Yeah, I understand you have a lot of money.
Brazen.
Could you get here and just get me out of here? Because they got me for DUI.
And then the young girl who was asked to watch some training videos and decided in the conference room where she was going to watch the training videos, I'm going to walk out to my car and get a blanket and a pillow, yeah, and I'm just going to hunker down on this couch here just with my back to the videos. So I'm listening.
You know, I had it on. I don't.
I'm listening.
I don't see what the problem is here.
Number three.
Burger King is at it again with a burger innovation. The Impossible Whopper has been a massive success for them. That's the Whopper that tastes pretty much like a Whopper, yeah, but there's no plant-based actual meat in it. And now this morning they're announcing they will be cutting down on emissions by serving Whoppers, a new Whopper that they say will help fight climate change. It's a new Whopper that's made from cows that burp and fart 33% less than other cows.
So those are the cows that we're going to process.
Burger King unveiling this Whopper made with cows that produce 33% less methane emissions. How is this possible? Have they bred the cows to be...
Or they're fed differently.
That's what it is. Trying to cut down on how much cows burp and fart.
So we're not feeding them Taco Bell anymore.
Well, that was a mistake. Burger King announcing it's worked with scientists at the Autonomous University at the State of Mexico and the University of California, Davis, to produce a new diet for cows that reduces the methane that comes out of them, both ends. Cows' burps and farts are a significant producer of methane emissions, which trap heat in the atmosphere and then continue to contribute to temperatures rising across the globe. They say the tests indicate that adding 100 grams of lemongrass to a cow's diet helps them release roughly 33% less methane in the last 3 to 4 months of their lives.
Now, I wonder if the person who developed this found out that that's the it happened to me.
Right.
When I was eating more lemongrass.
Adding lemongrass to the diet helps the cow's digestion. Without lemongrass, more methane gets emitted through burps and farts from these cows. A handful of Burger Kings in Miami, New York, Austin, Texas, Portland, Oregon, and L.A. will begin selling these Whoppers. Can't find them in the Quad Cities just yet. If you ask at the window for a Whopper made from a cow that burps and farts 33% less at the window today, you're going to get a weird look.
So that's just replacing their burger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to ask. That's not going to be named anything.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's not like, no. I want it from the cow. I want it from the cow that really knows how to rip one.
I like my beef to be made from loud cows, if you understand what I'm saying here. The people at Burger King say they hope to inspire change across the industry. The lemongrass research and formulation is openly available. They're not keeping this a trade secret. And they are speaking with suppliers around the globe to expand this test. Here's the good people at Burger King explaining the connection between cows, methane, and climate change. As only they can. It's a little boy in a cowboy suit.
When cows fart and burp and splatter, well, it ain't no laughing matter. They're releasing methane every time they do. And that methane from the rear goes up to the atmosphere and pollutes our planet, warming me and you. Yes, that methane that they pass is a greenhouse gas that'll trap the sunseed and change our climate too.
Gee, is it hot in here, or is it just me? So to change our emissions, Burger King went on a mission, testing diets that would help reduce their farts.
That's a start.
And another little question that is helping your suggestion,
adding lemongrass so they can play their part.
Getting that song out of your head.
Well,
today.
I was just gonna say that will not be the last time I hear that song today. I will be playing that more than one time.
Cattle are responsible for roughly 14.5% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Cows burps and farts not the only way they say that farming contributes to climate change.
Can you imagine? You're up making a speech on climate change or the greenhouse effect or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you break wind. Oh, what a faux pas.
Number four. Four.
Four.
Four.
I wanted to talk about the Washington Football Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they're going to have a transition where they're not going to just announce before the season starts, okay, this is the name. They're going to be calling themselves just the Washington Football Club.
For now.
Maybe for a while.
Well, okay.
People are placing bets now on what the new name is going to be.
Okay, and where's the money falling?
What would you guess is the leading contender in terms of what people are willing to financially invest in here? There are odds. The odds makers have come up with what they think is the most likely name.
Right.
What do you think is the most likely name?
The most likely name?
Yeah.
I know that the owner wanted to call, was it a arena football team?
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Warriors.
Right.
So I would think that that would be high up there. I know that I've heard the Red Tails.
Red Tails is right now far and away the most likely.
It's the most likely.
It is the leading contender when you look at odds makers. Red Tails is coming in at 3-1.
Okay.
Warriors, I don't even see here
you
on the board.
Don't see Warriors.
I don't
okay.
even see it on the board. We've got 3-1 for Red Tails, and then Generals at 4-1. The Washington Generals.
That's the old basketball team.
Well, that's the USFL team, right?
The Washington Generals, weren't that that's the team that plays the Globetrotters.
And gets beat. I thought they were due! Krusty, you spent a fortune gambling on on Washington Generals games.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were due.
Yeah.
The best. Was it the New Jersey Generals in the USFL then? Was the Generals? It was the New Jersey Generals.
Was it the New Jersey Generals or New York Generals or USFL?
It wasn't Washington?
I don't think so. I think that was the basketball
team. That's the basketball team that is
so that probably won't happen.
I think Washington Generals is great. You could play into the whole George Washington, and Generals would be my pick right now looking at this list.
Washington Monuments?
Then they have...
I don't know.
They have Generals going off at 4-1, Presidents at 5-1,
Lincoln's at 8-1. The Lincoln's? He's my favorite president. I just don't know that he makes for a great mascot.
Not from Washington.
No. Got shot in the back of the head in Washington.
Ooh, too soon.
Lincoln's going off at 8-1. Also, veterans going off at 8-1. The Washington veterans.
Where are the pigskins? That's fall off.
It's not on the list.
It's not on the chart, huh?
No. Team released a statement yesterday, which, by the way, they released on Redskins letterhead. Come on, guys.
Tell you what.
Here's our official statement.
Tell you what.
And here's one last look at the logo, I guess. They released the statement yesterday on Redskins letterhead. So people were saying, what is this?
Yeah.
What? You couldn't just use a blank piece of paper for this? Listen, we paid for that stationery. We're using this. We're not going to reorder anymore. But until we run out, we're using that stationery.
We don't want to be wasteful.
Mm-hmm. The team's official site now is still Redskins.com. But the team is officially, according to the website, considering using a generic name, something along the lines of just Washington Football Club during a transition.
Like a soccer team.
Yeah. Washington FC. Okay. The Navajo Nation made a suggestion yesterday. They're suggesting a name that truly honors and respects the first Americans of this country, and that would be naming the team the Code Talkers.
Now, I had heard that one.
To honor the Navajo Code Talkers and other tribal nations who used their sacred language to help us win World War II. The Navajo saying that this would set the team on a path of restoring its reputation and correcting the historical misrepresentation of indigenous people. Okay. We'll see. Other people are saying, but see, here's the problem with that. That doesn't make everyone happy because other people are saying that you really shouldn't use Red Brand Washington Football suggests you avoid all references to Native American culture entirely. They say any name that involves Native Americans would only perpetuate racist imagery that the change in the name is aiming to eliminate. So
the placeholder right now is Football Club.
Washington Football Club is what they'll be using until they get things figured out. But yeah, you can place a bet on what the new name will be. And as of now, Red Tails is the leading contender.
Mm-hmm.
Red Tail like a Red Tail Hawk or a Red Tail like a Red Tail Fox.
But they were showing with the logo an airplane. And the Red Tails, it was World War II, right?
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
It was World War II that there was a bombardier group, right?
Well, that's cool.
That I thought, for the most part, was African American.
Oh.
Out of Alabama.
That would be very cool, though.
I think it was World War II.
Okay.
Well, I think that's what that is in reference to.
Okay. I wasn't aware. Well, I'm sure they'll explain all this when they finally release the name. But... Not the Washington Generals, though, huh?
There's a bit of a losing culture. I'm just saying.
Have they ever beaten the Globetrotters?
I think they did. I think they have.
How many times?
I don't know how many little kids' were crushed when that happened.
You guys, I don't know, man. I feel like that would be something else to see.
It's like we looked in the rule book, and when they threw that bucket of confetti, that should have been a technical.
The Washington Generals. I guess they haven't been the Washington Generals for a while.
Oh, they haven't.
Yeah, now they're just called the World All-Stars.
Oh, okay.
I guess. They're a barnstorming team. I don't know. The Generals are back. Never mind.
Okay.
The Generals were on hiatus, and now they're back. I don't know. How many times...
Where else do they barnstorm?
I don't know.
If the Globetrotters aren't with them.
There are varying figures as to how many times the Generals have beaten the Globetrotters. Some reports say it's happened as many as 6 times. But the Globetrotters' official website says that it's only happened 3. Once in 1954, once in 1958, and the other is in 1971.
See, I thought I remembered one more recent.
Children cried in the stands after the loss.
See, there you go. we can't let this happen again.
Oh, this is great. They beat the Globetrotters January 5th, 1971 in Martin, Tennessee, ending their 2,495-game losing streak.
And that would have been the one I would have been taken to.
Curly Neal didn't play that game.
Oh, well.
The Globetrotters were entertaining the crowd. They lost track of the game and the score, found themselves down 12 points with 2 minutes to go.
And couldn't come back.
Forced to play normal basketball, the Globetrotters rallied but could not recover. Meadowlark Lemon missed a shot that would have given the game back to the Globetrotters. The timekeeper tried to stop the clock but couldn't, and when the final buzzer sounded, the crowd was dumbfounded and disappointed. One player for the Generals said of the fans' reaction, quote, "The kids looked at us like we just killed Santa Claus." The Reds celebrated the game. Now, they were playing as the Reds, not the Washington Generals. They were playing as the New Jersey Reds. They celebrated by dousing themselves with orange soda instead of champagne. Meadowlark Lemon was furious.
Furious.
That's my favorite basketball story ever.
Uh-huh.
They looked at us like we just killed Santa Claus.
Wait a minute. We haven't been keeping track of the score.
Wait a minute. And you fell right into our trap after 2,495 games. We knew we'd get to you eventually.
Five.
Number five.
So Johnny Depp and his ex-wife Amber Heard are in court right now. This is over in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them are English.
Of course it has to be in England.
What a nightmare.
I'll tell you what.
He's over in court. I think this is a case where
I couldn't
their business is settled.
Possibly have this done here in the U.S. How gauche.
He is in court. I think part of this is he didn't care for the press over there saying that he was abusive to his then wife, Amber Heard.
Uh-huh.
During testimony, he claims that the couple had a fight when he had found out how much money he had lost. And he was so upset about finding out how much money he had lost from his then management company that he...
Lost or spent?
Well,
I mean, yeah. It's like I could say, how much money have I lost?
This guy was making a ridiculous amount of money ever since the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Uh-huh.
That's what took him
really
from...
supercharged his...
Yeah, because I think he got points on all of that. Uh-huh. So like he got a taste of like everything for the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Now, for the most part,
because
he's made like, what, four of those?
Four or five? I've lost track.
Isn't the review of all of those? They're fine.
I saw the first two, and yeah, they were entertaining enough. There's no reason to watch any of them.
I mean, it was never like, oh my God, you have to see this. This is a sensation.
The first one was really fun, I thought.
Yeah.
I don't know that there was a need for a second one. Obviously, I was wrong because it made a ton of money, and Johnny Depp made a ton of money as well. Depp allegedly hurled a bottle, grabbed his wife's hair, and threw her on the bed before leaving a note that said, "Happy effing birthday." This was her 30th birthday. He claimed the couple had a fight when he discovered how much money he had lost in an unpleasant and ugly business meeting. The amount of money that he lost and that put him in such a bad mood was...
When they told him.
Yeah. You said, how much did you think he lost?
$200
million. $650 million.
Well, that...
But $650 million this dummy lost.
But that's not on you in any way, shape, or form?
Well, that's what they said. He went to court with the management company. And they were saying, listen, this guy is spending $2 million a month on stupid stuff. Like, you mentioned the wine.
Yeah.
Now, he was spending 30 grand a month on wine.
Okay, 30 grand, still.
Yeah, I don't know how you would spend $2 million a month on wine.
Well, still.
He was spending, according to the lawsuit with the management company, he was spending 300 grand a month on staff, including 40 full-time employees.
Okay.
150 grand on security for himself and his family, 200 grand for a private jet. honestly, if you're worth, if you got $650 million, you should be spending money on security. I don't blame him for that, but spent more than $75 million to buy and furnish 14 different residences, including an entire village in France.
You'd never get to them all.
No.
I mean, that's all you would be doing is traveling to these different places. He's so that you could knock them out. I mean, you're going to do 3 weeks in each place?
Like,
that's a year.
I get having a house and like a lake house. I get that.
A big lake.
Well, yeah. The town that he bought has a church, a restaurant, and several other houses. That was $63 million.
I'm here. I own your land.
Also purchased an entire chain of islands in the Bahamas. Closed on 5 separate penthouses.
Again?
Yeah.
Weren't the films just fine?
Well, but isn't the whole thing about real estate you can't lose money on it? Like, if he's got 15 different properties...
Right.
If you lose money on 2 or 3 of them, he should be making money, not losing $650 million. He said in court yesterday, I was in the early stage of learning from my recently acquired new business manager that the former business managers had taken quite a lot of my money.
Okay.
They had stolen my money. When asked how much money they
took... How does that happen when you have 40 people working for you? They're not keeping an eye on anything? I would like to see what some of the jobs are out of that 40. What is your what is your daily responsibilities?
I'm Mr. Depp's crust cutter. I cut all the crust off his sandwiches.
What do you do with the crust?
They're redeposited sustainably, as is Mr. Depp's command.
He doesn't want the fans getting a hold of it.
When asked how much money was taken, Depp said in court, quote, it was put to me this way because I had no idea about money or amounts of money. Since Pirates 2 and 3, I had, and this is ludicrous to have to state, it's quite embarrassing apparently, I had made $650 million. And when I fired them for the right reasons, I had not only lost $650 million, but I was $100 million in the hole because they had not paid the government my taxes for 17 years.
Not one out of 40 people could have done it?
Wow. He discovered his taxes had not been paid for 17 years, meaning he owed millions of dollars in back taxes.
You never look into that sort of thing?
I wouldn't. If I was making Johnny Depp money, I wouldn't look into my taxes getting paid.
You're not going to say, did we get our taxes taken care of? Come on.
I wouldn't. If I was making $650 million to act like Keith Richards in a pirate costume, I wouldn't ask anybody nothing. I'd probably blow 30 grand on wine, and I don't drink that much wine.
You just use it in salad dressings.
Yeah, when it goes bad.
Still 30,000.
Not bad.
I didn't even drink any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So he lost $650 million and also was $100 million in the hole because these people he trusted weren't paying any of his taxes. Let me ask you this.
Not only trusted... Paid him.
I don't understand how taxes work, apparently. Which reminds me, I got to get my taxes done today. But.
You really do.
I know. Tomorrow's the deadline. I got it done. I just got to e-file or whatever the hell it's called. And then send the government a check. You got me distracted there because I'm furious about that check I got to write to the government. My point is this. How does he not know in 17 years that he hasn't paid any taxes? Because at some point, don't the feds show up and say, hey, you owe us? How does it get to be $100 million?
You would think so.
Right? If it's $1 million, I would think the feds would go, hey, Mr. Depp, big fan of your work. You owe us some money.
Mm-hmm.
How does it get to be $100 million?
Yeah, how do you get 17 years?
How do you do 17 years without paying any taxes? How does that work? Just because he's Johnny Depp? He's
clearly got loopholes. Shelters.
Yeah. Can't pay my taxes. I got scissors for hands. What do you want me to
do? Every time I try to prepare them, I chop up the tax return.
Don't you watch Tim Burton movies? I'm a weirdo.
I'm no good around paper.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And just like that, we have to bring this thing in for a landing. That's your Top 5 Things podcast. We're Dave and Darren thanking you for listening.
Oh, that was a nice landing.
Well, anyone you can walk away from
is a good landing.
That's what we say in the trades.
That's what really bad pilots say. The podcast was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Nature's Treatment of Illinois' goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again.
Which will be soon.
Yeah. Too soon.
Some will say.
Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities. Represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out. Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you got to do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.